Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I'm your host, Brother Dave, and I'd like to welcome you to the Spirit of a Soldier, where we come to share the wisdom and knowledge of God's Word. Let us start with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we just glorify and magnify your name for this day. This truly is a day that we can rejoice and be glad in it because you gave us the breath of life. Another opportunity, Father God, to draw closer to you, to become more what you intended for us to be. We thank you, Father God, as we go forward today, Father God, to share your word. Let me, as a deliverer, Father God, decrease and let the Holy Spirit increase to give me the knowledge, the wisdom, the understanding, and the ability of this hermit to share the word accurately. We ask you, Father God, that those sound of my voice, Father God, I have ears to hear, a heart to believe, and a mind to receive your power. For your word said, Father God, that when we receive the Holy Spirit, we will receive power. Father God, that power comes from your word. So we claim it with authority, Father God. We claim it with boldness, Father God, and we claim it with thanksgiving that you guide us and direct us, Father God, through the knowledge that you provide for us. In this day, we praise you. Amen. Well, again, welcome to the Spirit of a Soldier. And we're going to begin by going over what we talked about a couple of weeks ago, which is basically the show is about the tools you use so you don't lose in fighting the good fight of faith. Today's quote is, I'm in the army of God. The Lord Jesus is my commanding officer. The Holy Bible is my code of conduct. Prayer and the whole armor of God are my weapons of warfare. And I've been taught by the Holy Spirit, trained by experience, tried by adversity, and tested by fire. And the scripture says in Ephesians 6:11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. I'm reminded of a story of someone who encountered something, if you will, from the devil, one of his imps, if you will, trying to do this lady this harm. So this was an elderly lady who was just returning home from church. When she walked in, she was startled by a burglar. When she caught him right in the middle of the act, robbing her home, she said, stop, Acts 2:38, turn from your sins. The burglar stopped right in his tracks. Then the woman calmly called the police and explained what she had done. Soon afterwards, the police officer showed up, cuffed the man, and was taking him in. But he was just curious. He said to the burglar, why did you just stand there? All the old lady did was just yell out a scripture to you. And the burglar replied, he said, a scripture? What do you mean? She yelled out Acts and 2:38. See, having God's word in times of need will be essential in any given situation. For even if the thief had been aware of God's word, he wouldn't have been confused between a scripture and an axe and 38 pistols. See, we have to understand God's word is so important in our life, and even more his armor. But we'll talk about his armor a little later in this session. Let's recap. The previous week, we were talking about the seven tools we use to continue to fight the good fight of faith. Prayer, the Holy Spirit. Today, we'll talk about God's armor. The guardian angels, faith, hope, and love. And we addressed in the first sessions about prayer. In Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without cease, where we pray often and repeatedly. And in Ephesians 6:18, pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to the ends with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And we talk about the importance of prayer. Prayer allows us to have intentional communication with God. It develops an ongoing relationship. We always want to build relationships. I tell my son this all the time. I build relationships because in times of need, when you need that support, when your blade is not as, if you will, as sharp, someone will come along, as the word say, iron sharpen iron, because we have a relationship. And you definitely want to have that relationship with God, because surely he's the one to design the iron. So he's surely going to have a solution and the resources that you need. So it's important. Then we talked about the seven forms of prayer. Communion, where we pray all day, all the time. Supplication, lifting up others in prayer. And lifting up our own needs in prayer. Intercession, where we pray on the behalf of others. And those spiritual warfares, we talked about there were two types. Dealing with yourself. Your mind is the battlefield where Satan will try to hang out and keep you in that negative. And then we looked at the fact that we have to have repentance and forgiveness. We have to repent for our sins, and we have to ask for forgiveness of our sins, but we also have to be forgiving to others, as so Christ was forgiving to us, as he forgave us of our sins. Then we talked about dealing with Satan and the demons, putting on the full armor, and those things we have to bind and loose that in heaven and in earth. Then we talked about prayer of agreement, corporate prayer. I talked about this because I always, when I pray in the morning, I believe in my heart that I'm aligned with people all over the world who are praying at the specific time that I'm praying. So I feel that, as he said, two or more are come together in agreement, that God will be in the midst. So I feel that I'm connected with everyone who's praying at the time I'm praying. So we have power to move things, because truly prayer changes things. Then we talked about being watchful in prayer. Continued state of awareness as that watchman on the wall. As I talked about when we built our towers in regards to our defense, we always was watchful for the enemy and where they were coming from. Then we had prayer of thanksgiving, where you count your blessings and name them one by one. I was told years ago that one should have a faith book that everywhere they could go back and reference to when God had pulled them through the times of trials and tribulations, and those times when adversity was coming at them from all angles. And when you look back, you see where God had brought you from and what he brought you to and where he's taking you forward, where he's going to take you in the future. You have that strength. You have that confidence. You don't let your confidence waver, because it has great reward when you trust in God. Then we talked about the Holy Spirit. We talked about in Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. And now we can reach the ends of the earth with all the new modern technology. As he said, you will do greater works. You will reach more people. Well, Jesus could talk to 5,000. We could talk to 5 million all at the same time because of the resources God gave man to develop social media and all these different technical advancements that allow us to reach others. And then we talked about who the Holy Spirit was to us. He was our counselor. In times when we feel we need to talk to somebody, we could talk with the Holy Spirit. He was our comforter in those moments when we feel all alone and we can't fight the good fight of faith by ourselves. He's right there to talk with us and give us that peace that passes all understanding. He would be our helper, that we don't have to fight the battles alone. As I always tell people when I send out my message in the morning, Emmanuel, remember God is with us. He would be our advocate. He would be our lawyer. Jesus and the Holy Spirit were standing in the gap for us. And the Holy Spirit at that point would become a great evangelist for the church. He would continue to use healing, signs and wonders and the gifts to draw the lost people to him, to Jesus. And the Holy Spirit would become our illuminator, making those scriptures come to life. They're not just words on a piece of paper, but they carry life. They have power. When the Spirit can be used to convict us of our sin and yet make us aware of the will and the ways of what God wants us to do in many areas of our lives. The Holy Spirit also, help us to apply the scriptures and passages to our lives and other people's lives. If you need healing, you need strength. You know, as you said, Philippians 5, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The Holy Spirit causes us to hunger for his presence and the power so we might bring glory to Jesus. The Holy Spirit shows us in the Bible what our inheritance is, teaches us not only of the fruits of the Spirit, but his gift as well. This is how we get through those troubled times, then and now. and how we continue to fight the good fight of faith. We can't do it on our own. Matter of fact, when you talk about the 12 disciples and when the Holy Spirit came on them through Pentecost, they said when they did the miracles, this was not of my power or my might. And even Jesus said it was through the Spirit. So why am I recapping? Because it said that faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. And even in the psychology community, even understand the power of repetition. It can create a different effect which reinforces intended messages. It helps develop an atmosphere in our emotions. And just to become something like affirmations. If they say if we repeat it 3 times a day for a minimum of 30 days, it's like eating our meals morning, afternoon, and night. The rewards would be amazing because it becomes a part of us. So now let's look at the armor of God. I will highlight a few points, but I recommend you leave your time, that you study. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, but to rightly divide the word of truth. It is important that we do this. So we'll start with what the scriptures say in Ephesians 6:10-18 about the armor of God. He says, finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so you can take your stance against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against powers of the dark world, and against the spiritual forces of the evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, not half of it, full armor of God, so that when the days of evil come, you may be able to stand your grounds. And after you've done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth around your waist, and with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with the feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. And in addition to this, you take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And you take the helmet of salvation and the sword of spirits, which is the word of God. See, guys, I'm as much more than a physical piece of equipment that we use to fight the giants in our life. We must understand that in using God's armor as our spiritual weapon, we become more powerful in our ability to stay in the battle and continue to fight the good fight of faith. Many times we don't see it from that way because we just see it as items or nice words to say, but they too carry power. For I always said this about me and my soldiers. We're always about preparing for the battle, training for the battle, being ready to go forward in the battle until we see the victory. However, I must say, there are going to be wars and rumors of wars at wars, as said in Matthew 24:6-7. However, this battle is not just the battles we see in the world of the conflicts we see across the world, but this battle is also a battle of the flesh as well, anything that has to do with the human existence or our experiences. The word says this in 6:12, remember, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. And I always like, I was talking about this today in Bible study. You know, sometimes we get so wrapped around the physical beings that we interact. You know, some people say, you know, your persecutors and your enemies and what have you. But I always like to say we have to be able to realize we separate that. Separate the flesh from the spirit. See, we all fall short of sin, fall short of the glory. All our sins are filthy rags. So we all miss it. We all miss the mark, if you will. And we like to be looked upon from God that he will forgive us. But he's not necessarily looking at our flesh as much as he's looking at our spirit and our heart. And this is how we have to do that. So we don't entertain the flesh as much. But what is the flesh housing? What is that spirit about? What is that heart about? And it gives us the ability to be able to separate the human or the man or the woman from the spirit. But we're supposed to pray for that spirit that it may be able to receive what God has to offer. But let me talk about the armor of God. Now we talk about the belt of truth. This piece of equipment holds and held the soldier's garment together, which if he didn't have this fitted properly, it could hamper his movement in the battle. In today's time, we call that our pistol belt. However, the purpose God wants us to understand what is not just to point to truth, but we need to wear it and wrap it around us, that it fits around it. It's a part of who we are. And if we don't have that belt to support all the other equipment, such as the shield that holds the sword, it causes those who know about the word of spirit to become compromised, where we miss the truth. This is why I like to say where you become thoughtless or reckless in your conclusion, or your defense for God becomes weakened. We talked about that today in Bible study, that you should be able to stand up and defend God's word with the word of truth. Because once we know that we have delivered the word to the individual receiving this, including ourselves, because it kind of comes back, we are set free. Free from those chains, those shackles that hold us down. I used to always say slavery's still going on. It's not on our legs, now it's on our mind. And we talked about earlier about the mind being the battlefield. We need to get those shackles off our mind. With all the distorted things that come towards us, and Satan uses the world of society to try to distort God's truth, we need to be armed in God's truth. That means we need to study his word. We need to meditate on his word. We need to pray his word. We need to hear his word. We need to quote his word. We need to share his word. We need to live his word. And again, this does not mean that we're going to be exempt from falling short, but get a little better every day. So you don't become sinless, you become sinning. You begin to sin less. Then the second piece was the breastplate of righteousness. As we know, this equipment was designed to protect the soldier's vital organs from mortal harm. However, in this case, wearing the breastplate of righteousness is always in partnership with the robe of Jesus' righteousness in Job 29:14. He says, I put on the righteousness and it clothes me. In addition to biblical times, the breastplate didn't protect the soldier's back, unlike ours do today. However, the point was not that the soldier would turn his back on his enemy or retreat. Thus, as soldiers for the Lord, we should stand firm and never turn our back on the enemy and his devices in 2 Corinthians 2:11. That Satan should come and take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. See, we shouldn't be ignorant of his devices. Again, just like God has used the body, so does Satan. And he's going to use every resource he can, but he's on a mission too. But we should be on a better mission. Our mission, as Jesus' mission, was to come and do God's will. Now, not my will, but your will be done. So we have to prepare ourselves for this. Thus, we have recourse by just submitting ourselves, therefore, to God and resisting the devil, and he will flee from us. See, when Satan came to visit, Jesus in the wilderness, he came to make all kind of vapors and all of his devices to divert Jesus. He even told him to commit suicide. Jump off this temple. God will catch you. I'll offer you the world and everything to it. I'll give you power. These are his devices. And we've seen many good people be tripped up because they lost sight of the truth. That's why the belt of truth is so important, because it holds everything together. So when Satan comes to try to trick you, You'll be a little better armed. See, this armor, and if you recall the story of David, David wanted God, didn't need Saul's armor. He needed God's armor. That's what we need. Then the gospel shoes of peace. Fitted with the readiness of gospel of peace, this represents or is a symbol for directing our walk within our personal life. Having the feet, our feet shown in preparation for the gospel of peace gives us a good footing or a strong foundation to stand on. As he said earlier, when you've done all you can do, then stand. And when you're comfortable in God's word, you get that peace to pass all human understanding back to the battlefield. A lot of the reasons that we get all tripped up is because we don't have that kind of peace. We don't have that kind of comfort. When you're comfortable in something, when you feel good about something, you have a level of peace. You don't have a level of anxiety. You're not meditating on depression. You're meditating on God's peace as he gives it to you. This is why it's important to know God's word so we can be better prepared. So when we walk, we walk with that confidence. I remember a show called Kung Fu, and the actor's name was David Carradine, and he walked with a certain calm. He was very calm, mild-mannered. Even when he was in conflict, he was just as smooth and cool and relaxed as you could be. And then he'd do his thing, not with maliciousness, but to straighten out the situation and still kind of, if you will, show love to the people that he was even bound back to. Because good, God's word shines on the good and the evil. So we get that level of peace. So it's important that we do this. And as we study God's word, share his good news, it will strengthen others as well as ourselves to continue to walk in the way that we can fight off the enemy's attack. Basically, you want to go without. Basically, you don't want to go without God's shoes or shoes of faith, because when you walk through life or in the wilderness like Jesus did, it can give you a solid baseline to return to when Satan brings his temptation or he tries to throw you off and get you in this mindset of you being defeated by depression and worry and anxiety. That's not a strong foundation. But if you walk in God's peace, it's not like you're walking barefoot on the rocks anymore. Because you'll have that comfort. You'll have that that helps you to feel good. And so when problems come, when challenges come, and I guarantee they're going to show up, you are ready. And then there's the shield of faith. This is you with a soldier, first line of defense. This is the piece will become more defensive. It's big enough to protect the body, designed to deflect the darts of the enemy and prevent them from making contact. You have to hold it firmly so it could resist the mighty blows that the enemy is going to swing with his sword. Because without it, you end up in fear. You may drop it. Thus, we must do the same. We can't let the shield of faith be loose in our hand, because when we step in the battle, we got to be ready. So when Satan starts slinging his sword and throwing his dart, we have that shield of faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. We can't get caught up in what we're looking at or what we're seeing. We have to trust that God is going to be there, and he's going to tighten that grip of faith for us, and he can move mountains. And God is so generous, because he only gave us the seed, the side of a mustard seed, to, in comparison how much faith we need. That's pretty powerful. So he says we can't even please him without faith in Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For these that cometh to God must believe he is, and that he is the rewarder for them who diligently seek him. Let's go back to prayer. You got to pray repeatedly and often. We have to seek God out. Again, this is just having a conversation with God. Many people say, I don't know how to pray. We know how to talk. If we can talk, we can pray. And if we can't even talk, we can meditate. And God will, he still will hear our prayer, because it's from the Spirit. So we just got to make sure that we go to him in faith. And then there was the helmet of salvation. This helmet was designed to protect the head, to prevent anything from doing any harm to the head, because the old saying goes, if you take the head, the body will follow. This point can be validated with the giant that David came up against, and who and the Goliath was offended, because who dare come and battle me, this kid? But however, because of his pride and his carelessness, pushing his helmet back, it wasn't the brightest bulb in the shed, as they say. He simply unassumed the stone that came from David's sling, and it sunk him right in his forehead. See, you have to protect your mind. And I always like to reference back to Joyce Meyer's book, you know, the mind is the battlefield. See, because that's where he's going to go. You may begin to feel something through your emotions, and as you feed those emotions, your mind starts spinning. And as it starts spinning, it gets out of control, and it spirals. And now you sink into depression, or you sink into anxiety. Instead, you're looking at the past, and you get depressed. And you're looking at the future, and you become anxious. But see, that's what he wants us to do. And once you get off your homeostasis, you get unbalanced. You've got no control. And again, that's where the shoes of peace come to play, being able to stand firm so he don't rock you like that. He don't mess with your head. As my buddy who's transitioning on, he says, don't let him rent space in your head. He ain't paid no bill. Jesus paid the cost. Jesus paid the cost. Excuse me. For in 1 Samuel 17:40-49, our head, or from more spiritual aspect, shouldn't be exposed to the wrong things. Negativity, negative images, negative people. For our mind should be exposed to anything, everything. Remember, when I spoke about repetition, affirmation, come by here. If we feed our mind with negative thoughts, meditate on negative thoughts, we should become more negative in our actions. And our power is being stolen. You know the word that Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And it says, finally, but whatever these things are true, whatsoever these things are honest, whatsoever these things are just, whatsoever these things are pure, whatsoever these things are lovely, whatsoever are the good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any virtue and there to be any praise, think on these things. We spend too much energy thinking on the negative, feeding into the negativity. But it's time out for that. We need to think on those things that God wants to. I mean, think about the fruits of the Spirit, the power of the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, goodness, gentleness, kindness, mercy, grace, steadfast, faithfulness, self-control. We need to get that self-control. Then we have the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. The sword was the most common used weapon back in the old days. Just as a slight bit of the word, the sword appeared 449 times in the scripture. This is the offensive weapon. It is what Jesus used towards the devil in the wilderness and gave the beast in Revelation 13, deadly wounded. Wounded in Revelation 13, 3 to 14, when Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace, but the sword. And in Matthew, Jesus said, think not that I have come to send peace on the world, but I come not to send peace, but the sword. Basically, the sword of the word of God has its divine effect. Several times it is depicted as being like a two-edged sword. In Hebrews 4:12, it says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even and dividing asunder the soul of the spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of thought and intent of the heart. Everywhere you look, God talks about, he looks at the heart. What is our intention? Is our intention to walk in the fruits of the Spirit, or is our intention to walk only for our own selfish gain? And in Revelation 1:16, it says, he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. The sword or the edge of the Spirit are the two witnesses of God's word, the New and the Old Testament. It's called the two-edged sword because it is to be used both against the enemy and for our personal use and for our growth and development. And the last is about prayer. We spoke of prayer in the first session, right? And for as a soldier, we know that the elements of surprise is our best weapon. Thus, we must be watchful. Even with our best armor, it is useless if a soldier becomes complacent, unaware, or doze off. Jesus recognized that when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane and his disciples were dozing off. How are you going to be up on something if you sleep? And for some of us, I know I'm a hard sleeper. I don't hear nothing. So I have to rest and comfort in God's word. But that's not being watchful. When we have soldiers do guard duty, they're being watchful, they're protecting, they're looking out. So this is what we have to do. We have to look out. So the word says that in Ephesians 6:18, be watchful to this with all perseverance. And in Matthew 26:41, watch and pray that you not enter into temptation. In Mark 13:33, take heed, watch and pray, for you know not the times. And in 1 Thessalonians 5:6, therefore let us not sleep as others, but let us watch and be sober. Why? Because in 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because the adversary, the devil, as roams like a lion, walking about, seeking who he may devour. So we have the to use. And I always tell my soldiers, don't get compromised. Some of my soldiers used to like to take the breastplate. We had a plate at each side, back, front and back. And because of all the equipment we carry usually was about 80 pounds. And so sometimes that was a little overwhelming for some of the smaller soldiers, if you will. So they would take the back plate out just to make it lighter. But I say, you can't take that plate out. Every piece of equipment is important. So every piece of equipment, when you talk about going into the battlefield to deal with life issues, is important. And God gave us everything. The helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the shoes of peace, the sword of spirit, and the shield of faith. So we must walk by faith and not by sight. Be prepared. Go in with God's armor. So you don't even need it outwardly to be seen, because that's how David went to take on the giant in the battle. He went there with God's armor, because God has showed him time and time again. As I said, that faith book, time and time again, down lions and all kind of creatures that came up against him to take his sheep, because he was the shepherd. He was the overseer. We need to walk just like David. He was a young fellow. So it's time that we move in the equipment, the things that God's given. We can't lose with the tools we use when we trust God. So as I close this, we're going to prepare to pray just briefly. For those of you who do not know God, don't know Christ, don't know about the Holy Spirit, take a moment in your day to accept Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Tell him that you repent of your sins and you're going to try to work at turning away from him so you may grow and fight. good fight of faith. Again, we're just sharing God's word. I thank you for listening. I'm always praying for everyone in the world, the state, the community, neighbors, and individuals, that God continues to bless your life, touch your life, and guide your life for your journey to be able to fight the good fight of faith. Thank you, and we'll see you next week. People go.